And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Salutations, listeners and fans. Welcome into RBLR Bucks, your go-to spot for everything Tampa Bay Buccaneers related. Whether you're a diehard, a casual, or somebody who just loves a little chaos in the NFC South, you already know you're in the right place. And man, oh man, folks, we finally got a little something cooking. All right, a little juice, a little action, a little life back in the streets. All right, the 2026 NFL Draft just went down, and you already know what that means. Opinions flying everywhere, timelines going crazy, and everybody suddenly, they're Mel Kiper, you know what I'm saying? So honestly, there's no better time than right now for you to tap in, though. We want to hear it all, though. What you love, what you hated, what confused you. You know, whether it's just Bucks related or overall NFL, you know, like other surprises, you know, from other teams. Please do let us know. You know, give us your draft report cards, your hot takes, your overreactions. Don't hold back, seriously. And before we get rolling, you know I got to give a shout-out to the rest of the RBLR crew holding it down across the bay. If you haven't checked them out, please do them. They just, you know, always, just like the rest of, you know, the RBLR Bucks squad here, there is no off season. Okay. So we're always cooking here at RBLR. All right. Now it's that time because, you know, it's never a one man show. I got to introduce one half of this dynamic duo, man who always stays ready with the take, whether it's calm, calculated, or straight up chaos. Mr. Zach Blaine, how are you, man?
I am doing pretty good. Sorry, the cat is messing with my mic. I got a sick baby up here. You know, we're doing good over here, brother. I can't complain too much.
I'm happy to hear that, man. Fighting the good fight, I see.
I try, brother. I try.
Well, you already know Zach came ready, but we got to keep it rolling. It's, you know, it's that April showers brings May flowers, but in the NFL, they bring depth charts, position battles, whole lot of pressure on the rookies. And speaking of pressure, we got to bring in the other half of this duo, the guy who stays locked in, breaking things down, always seeing the bigger picture, Mr. Carter Brantley. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing well, man. This is like the draft is my favorite time of year, but analyzing the draft, is looking back at it, is also really fun too. You know, we had a lot of we're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about for the next few weeks. Frankly, we're not going to do specific grades of the picks quite yet. We're going to take kind of a more of a higher up view of the Bucks draft, and then we'll do some even higher up view of the rest of the league because, you know, the rest of the NFL made some picks too. So we're going to talk about all of that this week, and then we'll get more into specific draft grades next week. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about the rest of the division specifically because, hey, that's who the Bucks are going to be playing this week or this year, right? So we'll get into all of that. First, hit that like and subscribe button if you like what you're hearing, because you want to stay up to date with all that stuff, because we're going to have some really excellent draft episodes here in this offseason. And, you know, we're missing football just as much as the rest of y'all, but it doesn't mean we can't talk about it. I'm excited to talk about this draft, man, especially for the Bucks. We'll get into the more specifics breakdowns of the picks. We're going to kind of hit on our the highs and the lows of it, really. And we'll start with the highs because that's the fun part. And I think I know y'all's answer, and I think I know our listeners' answer, and rightfully so. But I have my own favorite Bucks pick, which it's kind of just to be different, because if we're being honest, we'll all have the same answer if we just did truly our favorite pick. But Mr. Musab Tariq, what was your favorite Bucks pick from this fast draft?
Yeah, it got to be Reuben Bain, man.
Right.
How beautiful it was, pick by pick, him falling. And you know, at one point, you know, the thought, oh, wow, could Bain, you know, fall to us? And
I know,
still thinking, oh, man, I don't know. You know, I feel like maybe someone might take him before us.
Right.
But nope. It's just so crazy to see, you know, like I was saying during the draft show, seeing mocks of Mesidor and then,
yeah,
you know,
we had they get the better. Said,
wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, I will say if I'm being completely honest, that was my favorite pick too. But I know that that's probably what y'all are going to pick, and rightfully so. That's the true answer. But man, this was my guy. This was one of the guys. Musab Tariq and I picked him in our mock draft right before the draft actually started. DeMonte Capehart, interior defensive lineman out of Clemson. He was one of my favorite day three players. Like all traits, no production. Like he had an insane combine. A guy his size should not be moving as much as he does or as well as he does. So I'm really excited to see him go to work. I think he'll be a really great depth piece at the very least, like a project type of player, while he continues to figure it out. He only played 12 games at Clemson, but he was also playing alongside, you know, Peter Woods and TJ Parker and all these elite talented defensive linemen that have come out of Clemson over the years. So, yeah, I'm really excited for K-Part. I think he's going to be one of the steals of this draft, frankly. I think lining him up next to Vea and Kalijah Kansi, whose fifth-year option just got picked up, by the way, another little piece of news that we'll touch on. DeMonte K-Part, he was my favorite Bucks pick, at least a personal favorite. I know Reuben Bain, he's the best Bucks pick because he was the first-round pick, and he fell, and it was a huge steal there as well. So, DeMonte K-Part, he was my favorite Bucks pick. But Mr. Blaine, how about you, my friend? Who was your guy from this past draft?
Definitely Ted Hurst. No, I'm lying. Keyonte Scott. I really like the Reuben Bain pick. Yes. I think that that's an easy favorite pick.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Give me 1 second, okay?
Sounds like Hazel agrees with you.
I can tell. Good Lord.
So does the cat.
I really like the Reuben Bain pick. I think that that's an easy best answer, like, because no one expected him to fall to 15. And the fact that we got him made it a lot more bearable for some of the other picks that I didn't like. But Keyonte Scott, I think, is a guy who can do a little bit of everything on defense.
Yeah,
he's like a linebacker in a corner's body. He's just kind of a dog, and putting him with Reuben Bain again, I think, is such a big thing to do. And I think that he could make an impact year one.
Yeah, man. Keyonte Scott was definitely my second favorite non-Reuben Bain pick. So I guess maybe my third favorite pick overall. I don't know. But he was great. I really liked that pick as well. I think he fits really well in Todd Bowles' system as well. I mean, people were kind of harping on the fact that, you know, he's going to be the most successful in a scheme that allows him to blitz, that allows him to be a little bit more creative than just kind of a cover corner, you know, a drop back into coverage, you know, stay with his assignments. Like he's not necessarily that's not best utilizing his skills or talents. I'm really excited to see him go to work, to see him do his thing.
And you had shared, Carter, I think, that in our group chat that, yeah, he's like him and Bain on the same side was just absolutely nasty.
And he got what did he have? Five sacks?
All of his sacks.
Yeah, insane stuff. So I'll be curious to see if maybe this kicks Jacob Parrish outside. Maybe that's how they view this going forward, or maybe, you know, he's more of a rotation nickel kind of player, to rotate in and out with Parrish, keep guys fresh. I mean, we saw it with Jamel Dean last year that, you know, they kind of had to rotate him in and out with Benjamin Morrison, and that kept Jamel Dean fresh. Maybe they're kind of trying to view that similarly to their cornerback room this year. You know, you talk about a pass rush rotation and a cornerback rotation sounds kind of silly and kind of stupid, but maybe that's what they have in mind here. But regardless, I really like this Keyonte Scott pick. And I think he can do a lot of really wonderful things. So absolutely agree. Him and Reuben Bain, man, they're going to be really interesting to watch on this Bucks defense. I'm hoping they can kind of bring some of that Miami Hurricane swagger or cockiness, whatever you want to call it, to the Bucks defense, because, man, they did look lethargic at times. They've looked lethargic at times really for the past few years, but I think introducing a little bit more energy could be really interesting. But speaking of that defense, now it's time for the least favorite Bucks pick. And I don't know, Mr. Blaine, I know I know you probably have an answer that I might not necessarily totally disagree with, but I have a different answer, I'm sure, than yours. But give us your thoughts on your least favorite Bucks pick and why it's
Ted Hurst in round three. I hate it. Can't stand it. I think it's an awful pick.
Yeah.
It's the typical Tampa taking a shot on a small school kid that hasn't really necessarily worked out for us outside of the offensive line. I'm sure we'll get into it more later, but yeah. I don't like there's not enough production against higher talent levels for me to feel confident that he can do it against NFL caliber players.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's definitely my second least favorite pick. Don't get me wrong. I didn't love it. There were other guys there that, and we'll get to in our next segment, we're going to be talking about who the Bucks missed out on that we wanted them to pick the most, and they missed out on one of my guys at that third round pick. So I wasn't a huge fan of it. As the time has gone on, it's gone from like a frustrating pick to I still don't love it, but, you know, I guess it's not the worst pick they could have made. They could have picked a quarterback in round three. They could have picked, you know, I don't know, Garrett Nussmeier or something. So, you know, at least they didn't do that, I guess. But, yeah, my least favorite pick was Trotter, linebacker out of Missouri. And
that's a close second for me.
Yeah, and I hate to say that because Trotter could be very good. Like, and the same with Ted Hurst, really. Like, all of these guys, like any NFL draft pick, they have the talent to be good. Like, otherwise, they wouldn't be drafted for the most part, of course. But Trotter definitely has that talent to be good. But unfortunately, his struggles in coverage are well known. And that's something that the Bucs have struggled with their linebackers for the past, like, who knows how long, at least the past 2 years.
Traded up three spots and picked Jacob Rodriguez.
I know that was tough too. That was tough to watch. And if Jacob Rodriguez wasn't there, I really liked Anthony Hill. I know some others don't necessarily love him as much because of the injury concerns. And he's also not elite in coverage by any stretch of the imagination, but he's a little bit better than Trotter. The big thing with Trotter is he probably is one of the better run defense or run defense linebackers in this draft. So I get that, you know, they'll play him closer to the line of scrimmage. They'll have him do all of that, but, it's tough, man. I don't know. I wasn't a huge fan of this pick. I think him and Alex Anzalone will at least be very complimentary of each other. But beyond that, I don't know where they're going with the linebacker room, frankly. And, you know, Anzalone's like a 2-year guy, hopefully.
Yeah, you're not setting yourself up for the future with that pick.
Right. So the hope is, obviously, that maybe when Anzalone is on his way out, maybe they address that by drafting a coverage linebacker then. And hopefully maybe Trotter will be better in coverage by then. That's the top level outcome out of this, which, you know, you're hoping on a star there. So, or wishing on a star. I don't remember that phrase, but Trotter is my least favorite pick. The good news is his dad was great in the NFL. I think he's got a brother that plays for the Eagles that went to Clemson. Who's not bad, I guess. I don't know, but I wasn't super jazzed about this pick, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll talk about it more specifically with our grades. He was my least favorite pick. And I would love to be proven wrong. Like Trotter would be so cool if he actually turns out to be good. He could be like a Walmart brand Levante David moving forward. That would be great. Like, I know that sounds like an insult, but calling you a Walmart brand version of a Hall of Fame linebacker is actually a compliment. So, obviously, hopefully I'm wrong. But, yeah, that's my least favorite pick. Mr. Tariq, who was your least favorite Bucs pick from this draft?
Ooh, I wanted to go Trotter as well. I'm going to be a little different. I'm not going Ted Hurst. I'm actually a little 50-50 on Ted. So yeah, I'm gonna let that slide for now. We'll go in later, but I don't know. I, you know, to be honest, even though it doesn't matter, I mean, we got him so late, but with Bauer Sharp, I don't know. I was just like,
it is
all three great answers. All three great answers.
At that late, what's the point of, you know, getting a tight end, man?
Right.
For the love of God, I would have just been, I would have tried to find the hidden gem, you know, DB, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Something running like that. Back,
DB.
Yeah, anyone, man.
And again, like, I'm Hunter, cool. Okay. I wouldn't even care. Yeah, save some cap, cut Dixon.
I mean,
yeah, I'm not
Payne Durham 2.0. Is that what it is?
I think he's a better receiving tight end than Payne Durham. Like, he's more closer to Devin Culp, I guess, in that regard, like in terms of being a pass catcher. But yeah, I didn't love that pick either. That's definitely my third least favorite pick. The only reason I couldn't was that.
You traded it with
that's what it was too. Yeah, we didn't even get we didn't even get a seventh round because of that.
No, we traded our sixth and seventh for up a few to get that sixth for someone who's never really put it all together. In fact, I've seen him be called a few things on Twitter that probably shouldn't be mentioned in here.
Oh man.
It's really tough because at LSU they had Tre'Dez Green as their starting tight end. So he wasn't even really like tight end one, quote unquote, at LSU. So, I didn't love this pick either. It wasn't my favorite, but when it's like a day three, like round six guy, I kind of try to take the view of like, well,
yeah,
the value that they could have gotten out of that pick isn't.
We could have used that extra seventh to trade up three spots in a second and get Jacob Rodriguez.
Yeah, I mean, it just, yeah.
I don't know if a seventh would have gotten it done to get Jacob.
Well, no, you probably would have had to add the six too, but then we would have been out.
Just, I mean, oh, no. What do we have here, man? Have we? I'm trying to see if there was any names that we talked about.
I mean, I know Deontay Lawson was still available, but he was an undrafted free agent.
Anyways, I ain't gonna lie to you, man. You know, I'm not gonna lie to you, Carter, because we saw USF, that Navy running back.
Yeah,
Eli Heinrich. Man, yes. Yeah, that would have been better, dude.
He's a fullback. I liked him too. I thought that would have been really fun. It would have made Coke Heath a little bit more expendable.
That Uar Bernard guy.
Right.
whatever the deal is with him.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
It don't matter, honestly. I mean,
yeah. Knows, a sixth round pick, if you spend a sixth and a seventh on a guy like that, you know, what are you gonna do? I am hopeful that maybe that'll mean that they'll run a lot of 12 personnel, like they'll run some sets with Durham or Culp and KDOT, like, you know, they can try to move around the tight end spot a little bit more. But like you said, it's definitely an interesting pick considering that they traded up to get him. Yeah, I don't know. Any closing thoughts on Bauer Sharp, the poor sixth round guy? We're kind of dumping all over him, but definitely not my favorite pick of this draft either.
It's the thought, or it's really on the Bucks making that move. It's
right,
it's
exactly
the move or the choice,
right?
The guy. Yeah,
that's a good point. That's a very good point, and that applies for all these guys. Like, it's not even necessarily the player; it really is the Bucks deciding. That's a very good point. Now I want to talk about some misses that the Bucks had, some guys that maybe we thought that the Bucks could have selected instead of maybe our least favorite picks, or maybe even some guys that we wouldn't have minded them drafting instead of one of our favorite picks. Mr. Tariq, was there anyone that you saw that fell or that was there when the Bucks were picking that you thought, oh man, it would have been cool for the Bucks to get him?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, yeah, third round with Ted Hurst. I mean, that early for a hidden gem. That's where I'm kind of, you know, on the Zach train.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at it right now. It's just Emmanuel Pregnon. Julian Neal. I remember I saw a little something from him. Just, again, it's kind of the position. I get it. He was a baller at, you know, Georgia State, but. I just mixed feelings on that. I'll probably say, yeah, so those are some guys we missed on. I remember Carter, or maybe it was probably Zach, Jayshon Barham or Barham. At that point, we got Bain, you know, so it didn't really matter.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. With Barham, it would have been really fun to see them kind of move him around the chessboard because he's like a hybrid interior edge linebacker type of guy. Like, it would have been interesting to see them line him up all over the place. But missing out on Pregnon hurt, man, because I was like, I had a round two grade on him as an interior offensive lineman. So the fact that he fell to the end of the third round really hurt. He was probably my top guy the Bucks missed out on, but also Caleb Tiernan. I thought he was kind of an interesting guy out of Northwestern, like a long time starter there. And I thought kicking him inside would have been really fascinating, especially in round three, just because it would have given them more offensive line depth where I didn't necessarily think they needed the wide receiver depth nearly as much. Pregnon, that would have been cool. Cause I think he could have started like day one. He could have been competing with Ben Bredesen and really pushing that envelope, so to speak. So,
or even Dalen Everett. I just realized he was right after. So
I mean, it's Dalen Everett would have been really interesting too. Because that wouldn't have taken them out of the Keontae Scott business because they could have made both of those picks.
Oh, like, yeah, for sure.
They need some corners, you know.
Yeah,
they need some depth there. So it's a little frustrating for sure, but. Those are our guys that we wanted them to pick the most. I think I know who you're going with this, Zach, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. Who did the Bucks miss out on that you wanted?
Let me hear who you think I was going to say.
I think you're going to say McCoy out of Tennessee.
Spot on. Yeah, I have three. If I'm being honest with you, I would have rather taken a shot on McCoy in the third than a shot on Ted Hurst.
Yeah.
McCoy is a very, very, very good player who I think while he may not have a long career, everything they're saying about his injuries, like I understand the fall a little bit more, but he's cleared to play. So I would have rather taken a shot on someone who, without the injury history, would have probably been a top 10, if not top 5 pick, over a guy who's never really competed against top-level teams.
Sure.
Also, missing out on Jacob Rodriguez by 3 picks when we probably could have traded up and made that happen hurt, but then – taking Josiah Trotter over Anthony Hill, who I think fits what we needed more. Josiah Trotter is going to be a perfect linebacker for Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles is probably not going to be around much longer.
It's also a great point. Yeah.
So it's like, and I don't mean that like he's old and decrepit. I just mean like his job is not very secure right now.
Of course. Yeah.
So it hurts to see, not it hurts. That sounds so dramatic. But, like, it sucks to see that we took a guy who fits a Todd Bowles system perfect when a lot of us fans are kind of going, ah, Todd Bowles is probably out after the next 2 years.
It's a great point. No, absolutely.
And so Anthony Hill kind of is a more all-around, well-rounded linebacker. He's not great. Like, there's a reason he was not a first-round pick. But I think he's more all-around and would be more impactful as a true Mike as opposed to – Josiah Trotter, who is a run defender slash pass rusher. He's not your all around like play caller on defense.
Yeah. No, that's a great take. That's super great. So you let's see, you hit Hill. Was Rodriguez your second one? And
yeah, I mean Rodriguez, Ted Hurst went, and then there was a few wide receivers I would have taken over him. Again, I'm being kind of hard on Ted Hurst, but
right.
There's a few picks. If I'm Daryl Jackson, he went round 4. I would have loved to take him. Capehart, I don't hate the Capehart pick, so I'm not hating on him. But
it's okay.
Daryl Jackson than Capehart, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah, no, I get you.
And he didn't go until 103. Like, we could have taken him in the 3rd round, and I don't think it would have been too crazy. Right. But yeah, that's. I think those are the big 3 for me. Rodriguez, we could have easily moved up 3 spots and gotten Rodriguez.
It was tough. Yeah.
If we were going to take Josiah Trotter, I would have almost rather fallen traded back because I think he would have been there. I had him as a day, or a round 3 pick at best.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. I think a lot of folks had him a little bit lower than where the Bucks picked him. But we'll see how it works out. Hopefully, we're totally wrong on Ted Hurst and Trotter and all these guys. And they turn out to be great because Ted Hurst does have the athletic upside, but like you said, the production is in the Sun Belt Conference. You know, like we're talking about the lowest of the lows here, really, in terms of D1 college football. So, it's tough, man. We'll see. It kind of brought to mind. I don't know if this is probably a deeper cut for some folks, but Jalen Darden out of North Texas. I don't know if y'all remember when they made that pick. And that was later, so it was kind of like, who cares? But he had a massive production season out of North Texas. Like, I think he led Division I in receiving yards the year that he came out of college.
He was a baller.
He was insane in college, and, of course, he unfortunately didn't.
How did he do it at the next level, Carter?
What's that?
I said, how do you do it at the next level, Carter?
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So, it's kind of reminiscent of that. And even Darden, at least Darden had some special teams experience, so – so we'll see, man. We'll see. Like there's a world where Hurst doesn't work out, but that's the floor right there is Jalen Darden, where he is out of football within 2 or 3 seasons. And
which is an awful floor for a 3rd round guy.
Yeah. It's not great. Yeah, it's not ideal.
No, definitely not.
Like you said, had that been a 6th round pick, he would not have been there in the 6th round. Some guy is going to drool over a 6'4", 4'4", 240 guy.
Yeah. He's insane.
I understand what's the word I'm looking for? I understand how someone could look at that and go, that guy's going to be a stud.
Right.
But then, like, you look at the teams he played, and, like, none of them were elite defenses. Like, he played Ole Miss. It was a decent defense. I think they were, like, 37th ranked in the nation.
Yeah, Ole Miss is a
– He had one reception, 6 yards.
Right.
And then you look at – The games he had big games in were Murray State, which is an FCS school, Coastal Carolina, who on average gave up 235 plus yards a game, passing yards a game.
Yeah.
So it's just like the big games he had were against trash opponents.
Right.
And throw on a 10% drop rate on top of that. And it's like, my hopes are not very high for this kid.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of depressing because he, it's tough. You want to reward guys for sticking around smaller schools because like the current landscape of the NFL with everyone jumping everywhere is depressing. But at the same time, you know, you kind of understand it because then this gets into these types of conversations where it's impacting their draft stock. The fact that they didn't, if Ted Hurst had gone to Alabama and put up really good numbers and been this athletic god, then he would be going in the first round, right? Like he would be a high level draft pick, but instead he stuck it out at Georgia State. He didn't chase the money, as he said. And now he's a third round pick, which is still pretty good, but you know, there are some concerns surrounding the level of competition that he played and rightfully so. You know, sometimes these guys are monsters because of the competition they're playing. So hopefully he manages to turn things around in that regard. Maybe he'll convince Zach Blaine to dispose of his small school bias, but I don't blame you for having a small bias.
I think that's the part that I hate about it is like, I don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, he hates small schools. I love the idea of kids from small schools being successful.
Right. Of course.
But I also think that if you come from an FCS school, cause he came from Valdosta, if you come from an FCS school and then go to an FBS school, like you should want to take the next step. And to me, Valdosta is not much different than Georgia State. And you get to Georgia State and you go 4-20 over 2 years. And I know that's not all on him. It's not.
But it's a very risky move.
I think
it's too risky. And hopefully we all, you know,
I want to be wrong,
you know, take back our words and we say we're wrong and all that. But I definitely agree with you, Zach, because if you really think about it, I mean, it's going to be a massive leap, man. When you're going against Joe Schmo, dude, you know, at Coastal Carolina.
Or Marshall, okay, or Southern
Miss. Who may even be like, you know, second string. God knows, man. And then before you know it, in a blink of an eye, dude, you're going against the top corners, dude, in the NFL. Right. So can you make that adjustment? Maybe, but it's going to take him some time.
Yeah. I went and did a deep dive. None of the schools that they played had a defensive back drafted this year.
Yeah.
At least I'm pretty confident. I didn't do like a deep dive.
No,
like I
know Ole Miss had zero
drafted and two UDFAs. Memphis had zero drafted, zero UDFAs. So it's like even the big name schools you played, they were kind of bottom of the barrel defenses compared to the rest of the team. Like they're not that much better than the rest of the teams you're playing on defense anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see, man. I don't know. It's going to be a continued conversation throughout the off season and into the regular season and beyond, you know. We'll see if he's able to carve out a role here in year one. I would urge folks to be patient with all draft picks. Like you can't judge a pick after 1 year.
First rounder, you can, and Ruben Bain's going to put up 12 sacks for us. I'm with it.
Well, yeah, for sure. But for the most part, generally speaking, you know, broad brushes here. Hold off on making a decision on whether or not Ted Hurst was a good pick. But for now, it's definitely not one of my favorite picks. But we'll see how it plays out. We'll see if they're able to upgrade the wide receiver room a little bit, upgrade their depth. But if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe heading into the summer, because it's hot out there, man, in Tampa. Like it's getting hot real early. So if you're looking for some tank tops or some t-shirts or stuff like that, definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. We've got some great gear for you. Everything Tampa Bay sports related. We've got you covered, and we'll give you a promo code to celebrate the draft just ending. That's Canon, CANNONS. Type that in, get 10% off your entire order. We'd really appreciate it. It's a way to support the podcast. All right. So we focused a lot on the Bucks specifically for that first half of the episode. In this second half, we're going to focus on the NFL at large because it was a really fun draft. Like, we had some teams that I didn't love their draft classes. We had some teams that I really liked their draft classes. We'll get to both of those sides of the coin. But it was really interesting. I thought there were a lot of great storylines. But who in y'all's mind had the best overall draft? And Mr. Blaine, I'll start with you, man. Which team other than the Bucks, of course, because they had our favorite draft. No, not really. But
false advertisement right there, guys.
Right, false advertising. But around the NFL, who in your mind had the best overall draft?
So, I mean, there's a few, and I'll save, I think, the obvious ones for you guys. One of my favorites was Baltimore.
Ooh, okay.
They take, in my opinion, the best guard in the entire draft, the OI, out of Penn State. Then you come in and get Zion Young, who's another guy I really like. And my favorite wide receiver at round 80, or at pick 80, Jacoby Lane. My favorite wide receiver in the whole class. I think he's going to be an absolute stud. But on top of that, you come in and get Elijah Surratt out of Indiana, round 4. Then you get a tight end who I think is going to be really good out of SMU, Hibner. I think that they took the exact draft that Tampa needed, and I would have been like, okay, without getting Jacob Rodriguez, this draft is perfect still. But I like the Ruben Bain pick, so again, I'm not stressing our whole draft. But I think this fills every need that Tampa had and fills every need that Baltimore has and makes them a very, very good football team.
Yeah. No, I really like I mean, Baltimore, they did a study of, like, who drafted – who got the most steals according to consensus draft boards, which that's a whole other conversation to get into. But they – the Phillies, the Eagles, and I think the Browns were the three teams. I can't remember the exact teams, but it was definitely Philly and Baltimore were the top two in terms of getting steals according to consensus mock draft boards, which I think is really an interesting way to look at it. I don't know if it's the right way. I don't know if it's the wrong way, but it's a way to look at it. And, yeah, the Baltimore Ravens always have some really good draft classes in that regard. And, you know, they've got some pretty darn good teams. So they're clearly doing something right. So I really like their draft as well. I wanted to give a really – I mean, I hate to give them a shout-out because it's the Browns, but the Browns, they had a really good draft class. It's like there was this tweet that I saw that was talking about the recent news of them potentially giving Deshaun Watson the starting quarterback job, which is a whole can of worms. And it was like, oh, well, the Browns had a great draft class. You're excited about it? Well, here's some Deshaun Watson news just to, like, remind you that they're the freaking Browns. But they had Casey Concepcion, the wide receiver out of Texas A&M. He's someone I'm really high on. I think he could be great. They also had Fano, the tackle out of Utah, Boston, the wide receiver out of Washington, and McNeil Warren, the safety out of Toledo. That might have been the best sequence of picks out of any team in this draft. Like, that's just outstanding value at a lot of really high impact positions that they really needed. So I was really impressed with them. But Mr. Treek, were there any other teams that you wanted to touch on that you thought had really impressive draft classes from this past week?
Ooh, honestly, I hate to say it for this team, just cause it surprised me the way they first traded up with, getting Mansoor Delane, Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
They did overall really well getting Peter Woods and then R. Mason Thomas.
Yes.
So just three absolute dogs, man. So, yeah, I also like Cyrus Allen. I thought Cyrus Allen, I've seen a little bit of his tape. So a little bit of familiarity with that. And then, hey man, let's see what goes on with Garrett Nussmeier and the Chiefs, man. That was a rather spicy choice.
Fun little.
Just not the team. Yeah, just not the team I thought he would end up being. But hey, that's the draft.
Yeah. No, yeah. I liked Kansas City's draft as well. They did overpay. I mean, we talked about it on the draft show. They definitely overpaid to trade up for Delane because I thought he was going to be there.
Right.
The rest of their draft class was really impressive because I love R. Mason and I love Woods as well. I think that really upgrades their defensive line to go along with a really solid corner. The Raiders were really fascinating. They got Zach's boy McCoy in the fourth round, which I thought was great because they traded up for him in the first pick of the fourth round. They were like, hey, we're getting this guy. And I get why they waited to do that. And they picked the perfect time because now his contract isn't necessarily guaranteed if the injury thing turns out to be a massive deal, then they can just wash their hands of it. But if it doesn't, man, they got a really good player. Crawford, the edge rusher out of Auburn, was also really good. That Stokes safety out of Arizona is really good. And Washington Jr., he's a running back out of Arkansas who had like one of the highest RASs of anyone in this draft class. I thought that was really outstanding. And shout out to the Jets, man. They got David Bailey at pick two. I thought he was one of the best players in this draft class. Kenyon Sadiq, a favorite of the show. Omar Cooper, a wide receiver out of Indiana. And D'Angelo Pons, one of my favorite corners out of this draft class. He was really good too. So yeah, those are some of the teams that we thought did really well. Other side of the coin, some teams that we thought really stunk it up. Mr. Treek, were there any teams that really made you raise your eyebrow to use a Musab Tariq-ism, so to speak? Were there any teams that maybe you weren't a big fan of their class?
I'll probably say I'm leaning. It's a tough between the Rams. It's a tough one between the Rams and the Chargers. Probably go Rams. Yeah. I think that Ty Simpson pick really was a head scratcher indeed. But
yes.
Yeah. Hey man, whatever, dude. Good for them. You know, they're in the NFC, so if they want to, I mean, I just, I don't know. I'm sure, you know, I read up on it and I can understand why, but then again, I don't know. Just way too funky for me, man.
It's so wild that you guys feel that way, because I know Carter feels the same way. I am such a fan of the Ty Simpson pick there.
Wow, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because the one knock on him is he doesn't have experience as a starter. Let me rephrase it. He doesn't have experience as a starter. Mm-hmm. So you take him to the perfect situation where he gets to learn from one of the best.
Yeah.
You're
not throwing him into the fire. So, yeah, that's what I had seen.
They're in win now mode. They didn't necessarily need anything. While, yes, they could have benefited from a better wide receiver, but you still got Davante Adams. You still have, I believe, Robert Woods. So it's like you've still got those weapons. Why not take the guy that you're going to develop to be QB1? Maybe it is next year or the year after, but you still got 3 years on him now. Let's say it is in 2 years. You still got 3 years left on his contract on a rookie budget deal. And he's learning from, in my opinion, one of the best quarterbacks that kind of plays the same style as him.
Yeah, it's tough.
You're setting yourself up better for the future, in my opinion, because we don't know. For sure. We don't know the quarterbacks. I mean, we know the quarterbacks coming out next year, right. But Arch Manning is projected to be the number one pick, and I've not been very impressed by him in college so far, if I'm being honest with you.
Sure, and I think that's the tough part, is that you have to balance certainty with, you know, uncertainty in the future. And, you know, I'm a big fan of some of the other quarterbacks, like Lenore Sellers, Dante Moore out of Oregon's really fun. Even DJ Lagway, I know he was awful last year for Florida, but I think he could bounce back with Baylor.
Sellers wasn't much better than Lagway last year.
That's true. Yeah. Sellers wasn't much better either, but regardless, the ultimate point is that there are going to be other quarterbacks. And I think I'm more critical of Ty Simpson as a player. Like, we got into, like, even Damonte Capehart only has 12 games of starting experience. Ty Simpson also only has 12 games of starting experience. And he was getting beat out by Jalen Milroe in Alabama, which I know that there are other NFL quarterbacks who got beat out by other bad quarterbacks at various schools. But
yeah, we had this conversation in the chat, guys. We got pretty heated in the chat this past week.
Yeah, exactly. Where we talked about Joe Burrow getting beat out at Ohio State by Dwayne Haskins. That was the guy.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, Joe Burrow had that monster season for LSU. Ty Simpson had a fine season for Alabama, a really good first half. Like, the first half of the season, if he had played that way the entire year, well, first of all, he probably doesn't last pick 13 to begin with. And second of all, I feel a lot better about this pick. But it really reminded me, and I think this is maybe going to not convince you, Zach, but it might hit home a little bit closer. It reminded me of the Kyle Trask pick when the Bucks made it a few years ago, where you're a really good team and you're like, well, we don't necessarily need anything, so let's get a little fancy here and draft a quarterback to develop. Like, and then the Bucks ended up losing to these Rams when they had a Super Bowl caliber roster. You know, like, if they spent that second round pick on a guy that, I don't know, fill in the blank with any other position, like a cornerback, like, and they gave up that
cornerback every single year for the last 20 years.
Exactly. So
man, I don't know, man. I don't know if I want to compare Ty Simpson to Kyle Trask. I mean, I don't like
Ty Simpson pick either,
but oh okay. Man, dude, that's like,
I know. No, I get where you're coming from, but yeah. I think Ty Simpson is a completely different caliber player than Kyle Trask.
Yeah, and I agree. He is a better quarterback prospect than Kyle Trask, but I guess the situation is more of what I'm speaking to, where, like, yeah, the Rams could win the Super Bowl this year. And if they had spent that first round pick on I don't know, a wide receiver, like fill in the blank with whatever round one wide receiver you like. That gives them Devontae Adams, Puka Nacua, and a first round wide receiver for Matthew Stafford, the MVP from last year, to throw to with Sean McVay as the head coach. It's just they I get that they're in win now, but if anything, that means that makes it more confusing to me, I guess. Why?
Well, then also I was also gonna say, well, round two they got Max Clair, which was also.
And that's like their
okay. Now that one I'm a little more skeptical about
That's what I'm saying. Guys, I want to make sure it's more than just the Ty Simpson. I'm not just like, Ty Simpson. Oh my God, the Rams had the worst pick F. Right. It was just like, you know, your two most important picks, and it's like, okay,
yeah.
So I don't disagree with you on the Max Clair part at all.
That one was really weird.
That one threw me for a loop, and I was like, yeah, he's a good tight end, but. You don't.
The Rams have like 50 of them,
and you've already got at least two NFL starting caliber tight ends.
I love the 12 personnel looks and everything, but good gracious, we maybe gotta chill a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that was really confusing. That whole round two run of tight ends was really confusing, which actually brings me to another team that I thought had an awful draft. The Jaguars blocking an H-back, like an inline blocking tight end, with their first pick of the draft in round two. My goodness, that was brutal. They kind of bounced back a little bit with the Pregnon pick for me, but yeah, that first pick that they made. Yeah, I didn't love it. But yeah, the Rams, not one of my favorite draft classes, but you know, I could be proven wrong. Ty Simpson could turn out to be the best quarterback in the NFL, and you know, God bless him. And I get the, if you really like a guy, then you got to draft him immediately. Like if they would have waited till round two, he might've gotten snatched up. He might've gotten picked. So I sort of get it from that perspective, but the tight end pick afterwards was kind of like, okay, this is a name.
That one did throw it over the top for me.
Yeah, like, that one was like, all right.
I understand why people could hate the draft after, but like the biggest thing that I saw was a lot of people hating the draft because of the Ty Simpson pick.
Sure. And so
if you include everything, I'm like, yeah, it's a pretty shitty draft. Like I understand the hate, but yeah. I think to overlook Ty Simpson being the QB of the future, even if it's not year one, was the biggest thing that I disagreed with on a lot of other people's takes.
Sure. Yeah. And we'll see how it plays out, man. Cause the Rams could still win the Super Bowl. Like that's how good their roster is, which is sort of what makes it even more frustrating for me, is that like, man, like you don't want to get greedy and say like, oh, well, we already have a Super Bowl caliber roster. Let's get cute here. That's kind of what makes it even more frustrating for me. But regardless, I wanted to move on to some other teams that had some weird drafts. The Chargers getting Akeem Mezidor. I think Musab, you mentioned this, when they could have literally used a wide receiver, an interior offensive lineman. I mean, get Justin Herbert a little bit more help, because my God,
anything other than a DN.
Yeah, it was really weird. Didn't love that at all. And then the two first round running backs, I wasn't a huge fan of. Man, the Cardinals, and I love Jeremiah Love, like no pun intended. Like he's going to be one of the better running backs in the NFL, but he immediately becomes one of the highest paid running backs in the NFL because of where they drafted him. And they're also the freaking Arizona Cardinals. Like,
I'm not going to lie to you, I think he is the highest paid running back in the NFL.
He might be. I don't even know. But he's going to be just wasted for at least two seasons in Arizona. Like he's having Carson Beck or Jacoby Brissett hand him the ball. What's that?
Carson Beck, the guy's a stud.
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying, man. It's just so, like, I don't know. It's just so mind-boggling. Like, he would have been perfect for a team that was closer to contention, to put it kindly. To put it not so nice, just a team that isn't going to be just absolutely garbage this year. Like, the Cardinals are just so void of talent across their roster that drafting a running back is just not a luxury they can afford right now. And then the Seahawks drafting Price at the end of round one, it's not even necessarily that they drafted a running back. They got to replace Kenneth Walker. I get all that, but I do genuinely think Price was probably a round two running back, and I just wasn't sold that the gap between him and the next running back taken was wide enough to spend a first round pick, especially when Jackson Smith-Njigba and Raheem Shaheed are both, I mean, obviously JSN, what else is there to say? And Raheem Shaheed, very good wide receiver two, wide receiver three, but Cooper Kupp cannot be your third guy in 2026. He's injury prone, age leading to regression. That's just too much uncertainty for a team that just won the Super Bowl and has the team to still win it again this year.
I mean, isn't Chris Godwin like the same age and just as injury prone?
For sure.
And he's our wide receiver one.
Well, I'd say Buka is probably the wide receiver one, but yeah, I definitely
I'll give you that.
Right. But I definitely agree with you. And if the Bucs were a Super Bowl caliber team and they drafted a running back in the first round with Chris Godwin as their wide receiver too, yeah, that would, I would be irate about that. I would not, I would be very frustrated.
I can't lie to you. If Tampa would have drafted, I don't even care. If Jeremiah Love would have fallen to 15 and Tampa drafted him, I'd have been like, oh, I don't even care. That's cool. Okay. I'm cool with that.
But anyways, that's kind of my soapbox to talk about a little bit, because man, I really didn't understand the Cardinals one. The Seahawks one, I sort of understood, but I thought that both the reach factor as well as their other, in my opinion, dire needs, especially because
I think for me, it came down to, well, I agree with everything you said about Arizona. I do think Jacoby Brissett as their quarterback, I don't foresee it being as bad as it was this year.
Sure.
Especially with a weapon like Jeremiah Love. Carson Beck comes in and takes over, then it's like, oh, okay, maybe we got something concerning here. Yeah. But then I look at the price trade or the price pick, and it's like, I don't think he would have been there picked 64.
Sure, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So – Seattle, while I agree they probably need a wide receiver three, especially for the future,
right?
They don't have a running back right now.
Yeah. And I
K9 is gone. Charbonnet is coming off a torn ACL.
For sure.
So he's gonna start day one.
Right. They needed a running back for sure. Yeah. I think they could have spent because Kenneth Walker was a second round pick. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of success to be found in the second and third rounds with running backs. And if they would have spent a second or third round pick on the running back position, cool. Even if they would have double dipped, even if they said, hey, we need to get two of these guys, like, you know, you need another one, like the Ocean's 11 quote. You think we need another guy, like spend a second round pick and then like a fifth or a sixth round pick. That would have been cool too. I think that would have been more defensible than spending a first round pick on Price. But I don't know. I'm getting a little nitpicky with the Seahawks because I do understand where they're coming from. But at the same time, I don't know. If they don't manage to repeat, I think this could be potentially a big reason why. Like, it could be that Sam Darnold doesn't have, you know, their teams are just triple teaming JSN or something, you know.
Because if the only thing that would kill them is if Denzel Boston comes out and is a stud. Only other wide receiver that you could have – that's the only other player in my mind you could have taken at the end of round one. That made sense for Seattle.
Right.
Because you're like, again, I agree that they need a wide receiver. And Denzel Boston would have fit perfect there because they've got so many speed guys. Boston now becomes like your wide receiver X.
Sure.
I would love for Tampa to get Boston in the second round, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, that would have been cool. Yeah.
But if Boston comes out and has a big year, and let's say Price either doesn't have a big year or the Seahawks don't win – at least make a deep run in the playoffs, you're like, ooh, yeah, you probably could have used Boston. Boston would have been a better pick there.
Yeah, and that's
weird to say that another team's rookie is going to make or break what Seattle did.
Right. It's tough, man. Because I think you look at the draft class that Seattle had last year, and it's just like, wow, they – like Nick Emmanuel didn't change the defense single-handedly, but he was a big part of why that defense was so good. And the interior offensive lineman that they got out of the smaller school, he was excellent too. So it's, you know, the people said, like, I think it's the quote from what's that guy's name on ESPN that's annoying all the time. Is it Dan Orlovsky or whatever?
Dan Orlovsky.
Thank you. Like, he was like going on there spewing some, oh, well, a rookie's not going to make a difference on a team. And it's like, brother, they definitely can. Like,
all the time. They always
all do. The time. But, you know, he's under the same agent as Ty Simpson. So that's why he was trying to defend the Ty Simpson pick. But regardless, let's move on to something more positive because we've been talking about a lot negative here. What was y'all's favorite picks of the draft from outside sources? Or from other teams other than the Bucks, because Reuben Bain, could easily be like your favorite pick of the entire draft, and it would be understandable. But other than that one, Zach Lane, who was your favorite pick out of the entire draft?
I got a couple. Jermaine McCoy in the fourth. Sure. I think that's a steal. Even if he plays four seasons and never plays again, I think that's a steal. Jalen Kilgore in the fifth round to Buffalo.
Yes.
I am very, very high on Kilgore, and I have been the whole draft process.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked he lasted that long, frankly.
I was too, and then seeing how many times we passed over him made me even more irritated.
I know, yeah. It was
and then I hate to give them any credit, but Avion Terrell in round two to the Falcons.
That was also
not only is it a cool ass story that he's playing with his brother, but
right.
I think
he's also just good.
Yeah, pick 48. I think I was expecting him to go around one, late round one. So for him to be there at pick 48, I think Atlanta did pretty good for what they needed.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. Totally agree. I like. The Kilgore pick kind of hurt me too.
And they got your boy Harold Perkins in Atlanta. I didn't even realize that.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. He's more of a sentimental pick.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, rather than a practical thing. I know he's probably not going to be any good, but the ACL injury kind of sapped a lot of his athleticism. But, man, that one season, man, he was so good. But, yeah, we'll see. But Mr. Treek, who are some of your favorite picks from this last draft?
I'm actually going to go with Zion Young to the Ravens. I thought that was pretty nice. Just because, watching this tape, dude, guy's an absolute animal. Just joining already when you already have Trey Hendrickson on the edge. He doesn't have to be that kind of hero, man. He's just got to, come on in, start working. And before you know it, he could just start popping out himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Zion Young was a popular choice for sure. I had a few as well, kind of following the Zach Blaine train right there. But Kalen Rutledge going round one.
Oh, yeah. That was surprising. Yeah.
He went from a potential round four guy to he'll probably go in round three. And then I was like, oh, shoot, he might go in round two. And then, man, round one, Kalen Rutledge to the Texans. That was a lot of fun. I was hoping that the Bucks would get him in round three. And boy, was I wrong. But hey, man, he's a great player. He should change that Texans interior offensive line because he was great at Georgia Tech, a big reason why they were able to run the ball so well. He also tested really well at the combine. I'm a big Kalen Rutledge guy. I also really like the Skylar Bell pick for the Bills in round four. He was a huge target share guy at UConn. He's also really shifty, really quick. I think he's going to be kind of a Khalil Shakur 2.0, and that sounds like kind of an insult or kind of like, well, why do you want two of those guys? But, hey, the Bills could use any type of wide receiver help because that wide receiver room is thin. It's DJ Moore and Khalil Shakur and now Skylar Bell, of course. But, yeah, they could need all the help they can get. Colton Hood also, I was shocked. He was another guy that I could have seen the Seahawks picking, frankly. But
I think I actually mocked him to Seattle right there.
Yeah. And that would have been totally, totally legit. That would have been totally fine. But he fell past round one and fell to the Giants. And good for them. They scooped him up. They had an underrated kind of nice draft as well. And then Katron Allen, he's a running back out of Penn State. The Commanders picked him up. And him and Bill Kroski-Merritt, I think, will be a really interesting backfield. Allen's like a huge success rate type of player, a real between the tackles power back, while Bill Kroski-Merritt kind of can hit you with the more explosiveness. So, this is a really fun draft. Sorry, go ahead.
I just remembered a draft pick that I absolutely hated in round one.
Okay, go for it.
And sorry, I know we're off topic now.
No.
Caleb Banks to Minnesota at pick 18. I hated that for Minnesota.
Yeah, I felt bad for them. It was kind of weird. I got a Vikings buddy who was a little
not super stoked.
I mean, yeah. He is a mountain of a man. I'll give him that. But how many times has he been injured now?
Yeah, the injury concerns are legit and very real. And, I was a little weirded out by that. I thought they could go with Thynemann out of Oregon.
That's where I expected.
I thought that was sort of a hand-in-glove type of fit there. It was a weird one, man. I'm not really super certain where they're coming from with that, but you can always use, defensive line depth is always important, I guess. But, yeah, I wasn't super high on Banks either because of the injury concerns, especially in round one.
Then they go round three and take Big Citrus, Dominique Orange.
Right. Yeah.
It just it didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Minnesota's been weird, man. The JJ McCarthy thing has obviously gone really south. So now they're bringing Kyler Murray. Yeah. Really quick.
They didn't even give him a shot. That's what blows my mind with this whole McCarthy thing is he didn't get to play year one because he got hurt. Then season two, they're like, we've seen enough. I didn't think he looked that bad to just give up on him.
It's
and tough. I know they haven't technically given up on him, but when you sign Kyler Murray, you've given up on your quarterback. Like Kyler Murray's not going there to be a backup.
Yeah, and it's hard because I'm with you. I am shocked that they didn't give him a little bit more run, but man, the stuff that Justin Jefferson has been saying in the media has been kind of crazy. And like when your best player, your wide receiver one, like face of your franchise, bona fide superstar, is like out here actively like kind of trashing that guy, it is tough.
Kind of a shitty move on Jefferson's part, if I'm being honest. And I like JJ, but or Justin Jefferson, the other JJ.
The other JJ.
I'm not like super high on JJ McCarthy or anything, but like if someone said, hey, give us a seventh, you can have JJ as your backup, I would do that. Like I'm pretty confident in, I think he could be an okay quarterback. But shitty move from a wide receiver to go, well, yeah, my quarterback sucks. I know he hasn't said that outright, but if you could read between the lines, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, and it's hard because like he's, unfortunately, JJ McCarthy was ultimately responsible for obviously the Vikings success as a whole, but a lot of like Justin Jefferson's individual success and like him hitting certain contract milestones, getting paid. Like I know Justin Jefferson gets paid enough money. Like I'm poor Justin Jefferson, blah, blah, blah. But it is tough. So I sort of get where he's coming from a winning standpoint too, because Justin Jefferson's in his prime right now. Like he should be having his best seasons. And man, the Vikings really sucked last year. And to go from this fun story with Sam Darnold to letting Sam Darnold walk and bringing in JJ McCarthy and to having a really middling season, especially when the NFC North as a whole is getting better and better. Like now, I think the Vikings are the worst team in the NFC North by kind of a lot. Like the gap between them and whether it's the Lions, Bears, or Packers is kind of large. And so now the Vikings are kind of left in the dust, and it's a lot of that rides on JJ McCarthy's shoulders, unfortunately. But yeah, it is crazy to be talking trash on your TV like that so brazenly. But yeah, we'll see. But regardless, hope y'all enjoyed our episode. We're closing out shop here, coming towards the end. Really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Definitely keep in touch. Next week, we're going to be talking about the Bucks draft as a whole. We'll be giving out grades for the individual picks, as well as an overall grade for the draft as a whole. You know, stay tuned for that. Hit that like and subscribe button on your way out. For me and my co-hosts, we really appreciate y'all. And until next week, and as always,
go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.